Well, last Sunday, some people came into the auditorium and they were like, what is going on here? I could just tell they were like shocked. And we had our love feast, and I think it turned out really well. We were talking about the executive team meeting, you know, I mean, some things we might have done differently. But, you know, it was amazing just all that occurred during that service. And in a love feast, we're going to do it again as a congregation, but I just want to encourage you, you can do that with your family. You can say, we're going to have a love feast tonight. And you know, some of the things we did, we shared a meal, we served each other, we talked, we fellowshipped, we did testimonies, we read the word, we prayed for each other, shared our heart. I mean, you can do that at home. That'd be amazing. That'd change your family. And hey, and you can do, say we're going to have some close friends or people that you know, why don't you have a love feast at your house? Invite some people over and just kind of follow that format. And I'm telling you, God's, it's just a great response, a demonstration of a family, of the body, of who God wants us to be. And so I just want to really encourage you about that. I just loved it. One of the members said, we should do it every Sunday. I'm praying about that. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John 4. And you were wondering, do they have another message on love? Of course, yes, we do. We have at least one more. 1 John 4, verse 15. Says this, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Anybody done that here today? God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Everybody say, God is love. He's not trying to be or wanting to be. He is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, we can learn a lot about love by looking at God's example, Jesus' example. If God is love, it's certainly, you know, if we want to learn a skill, and you know someone that's really good at a particular skill, you want to hang out with them, watch them, observe them to learn that skill and to do it like they do it. Learn from the master. Well, God is the master on love. He is love. So we can learn from his example. So let's look at John 3:16. Very a verse we read so many times, probably maybe heard it more than any other verse. And you can say that for a lot of churches. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad that he loved the world? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So love is not just words. It's not just getting the Hallmark card and, you know, telling something, writing, and that's good to do that. It's not just words. It's a action. It's not just thoughts, thinking good thoughts. Love sows seeds. Love gives, love acts, love demonstrates itself. And Romans 5, verse 8, just goes along with that. And aren't you glad that God just wasn't a person of words, of thoughts? But God demonstrates, this word demonstrate means shows, proves, establishes, exhibits. But God shows, but God proves, but God establishes, God exhibits his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were sinners and we didn't love him and didn't care about him and didn't think about him at all, he loved us. And not only did he love us and had good thoughts towards us and spoke words towards us, he demonstrated that love to sinners that were, you know, anti-God, rebelling against God. He demonstrated, he acted upon that love. and sent his son, sent his best to live and to die for us so that we could live. That is amazing. And so I was just did a little study this week on what God has given us. You know, in my, I got, you know, different study guide, Bibles in here, and one of them's a Greek and Hebrew Bible in there. And so, like, for that word, for God so loved the world that he gave, I can look at that word, and it'll tell me what it is in the Greek. But then it also says, I can search for all those words, you know, that word all over the New Testament, you know. And so I did that, and it was like hundreds of times the word gave was used. So I just did a little study and kind of followed that through and found a lot of things that God gave us. So he's, again, he's more than words. He's more than thoughts. He acts. Let's look at some of the things that that God gave us. Well, first let me show you, I'll give you one of the verses here. 2 Timothy 1:7, familiar verse, right? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. That's one thing he didn't give us. That'd be a good study too, what he didn't give us. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. So you see what I'm saying here? He gave us all these things. Love demonstrates, love acts. He gave us all these things. And so I just kind of studied these things. He gave us eternal life, gave us the Holy Spirit, gave us Jesus, gave us his word, gave us peace. These are all things, all gifts he's given us. Boldness, authority, favor, gifts of the Spirit, understanding, new identity, grace, faith, seed to sow, bread to eat, wisdom, forgiveness, the mind of Christ, mercy, everlasting consolation, whatever that means, hope, ministry gifts, strength, spirit of revelation, the ministry of reconciliation, signs and wonders and miracles. And that's a partial listing. So I would say that God is very generous. And we need to every day meditate on these things and think about his gifts. Because it's easy in this world sometimes to forget. But he's got a lot of gifts. And he loves to give towards us. And he's thinking right now of ways to bless you. And he doesn't want to just hoard all the blessings. He wants to get them to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Not only does he, you know, he demonstrates his love, he wants you to know about it, and he wants you to experience it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He wants to know about these free things. He wants us to experience them. He wants us to experience them on a daily basis. And so we need to know, understand, believe, receive, and experience these gifts every day. And as you grow and as you're able to receive them, it changes you. It transforms you. And I think we could say that for all of us, the people that have known us, if they look at our lives now, we're different than we used to be. Why? We were changed and transformed by God's love. His love received transforms. It changes. And the Spirit of God in you wants to help you to receive, to know, and to receive that love. Now, of course, every time we, you know, talk about these things, we're always talking about now it flowing through us. We're not to hoard it, you know, and Grayson's talking about that. We're not trying to hoard all the gifts just for ourselves. And the scriptures had a lot of warnings and things about that, about hoarding and coveting and keeping it for ourselves. And we were just singing about it, you know, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine. And that's really the secret of Christianity, is letting your light shine. And for this church, we want to let our light shine. Last Sunday with the Love Feast, we're trying to help you to learn to receive love and to give love. We were practicing. You've got to practice. You've got to get good at it. You've got to get skilled at it. But again, we learn by watching the master. We learn by learning from the teacher. And so Ephesians 5 is a great verse. Some great verses for us for 2018. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Now look at this now. I'm going to read this to you in the Message translation. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Watch what God does. I just told you about all the gifts, right? All the things that he gave. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Obviously, Grayson didn't learn some things from us that he needed to learn, but that's okay. I remember, when I, I have this riding lawnmower and cutting the grass, and the kids, they have the plastic mower, so I'm out there cutting the grass, and they're out there with their plastic mower that's doing nothing. Why? They want to do what I'm doing. They're watching me. They want to be like me. One of my favorite kids' gifts when I was a kid for Christmas was this little plastic tool bench where you have the things where you have the screwdriver and you screw it into the table and you pound the nail. You remember those plastic thing? Well, my dad had this workroom and all these tools, and he loved to fix things. And that was just made me happy to have something like what he had. And I could do the things, I wasn't making anything, wasn't building anything, wasn't fixing anything. But I was watching him and wanted to be like him. And this is how we're to be with our Heavenly Father. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. That's what he does. Mostly what he does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And so this is how we can maybe gauge our maturity. If we're growing as a believer, maturing, we need to be maturing, we need to be growing up, is the love walk. But not just a lip service and say, yeah, I walk in love, but a demonstration of that action in our lives. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day to let your light shine. Every day is a day to love. It's to be loved and to love. This is what life is really all about. It's not about stuff. And in American culture, the American dream, when you think of the American dream, it's about stuff. Is that God's dream? Did he send Jesus? I mean, again, he wants you to live well in material things, but not that what your life is about. And so, what's a better dream than the American dream is God's dream. And God's dream is about people. It's not about things. But we just got to guard our hearts in this country, because we're all about things. And we spend a lot of time with the marketers, and they're not interested in people. They're interested in your money. And so it's just, it gets kind of cloudy. Really, really cloudy of what this life is about. But it's about people. And God is love. And so we need to watch him. We need to imitate him. We need to receive his love. But then let it transform us in such a way that it begins to just bubble up on the inside. And it'll just happen. It's an organic, it's a healthy thing. It's, you know, that comes from his love. It will change you. And you'll begin to start loving like he does. You hang around with him, it's going to rub off on you. And the Holy Spirit will anoint us to act and to demonstrate his love. Look at Acts 10:38. I'll read this from the Message translation. Acts 10:38. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed. Everybody say anointed. Anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. So say anointed with the Holy Spirit. What's that anointing for? It's for so we can do things. Anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. I like that. Are you ready for action? Are you ready to act today? Are you ready to demonstrate? He went through the country helping people. Helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. And so, turn to your neighbor and point to him and say, "You're anointed with the Holy Spirit." You're anointed with the Holy Spirit. And what are we anointed to do? We're anointed to help people. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's actually come upon you to help people, to heal people. All those things that I read about what God does, to bring peace, to bring mercy, to bring forgiveness. And you got to stir up that gift. You got to stir it up. And, you know, Matthew 24 talks about the love of God, the love for people growing cold. And I'm seeing a lot of that, and I'm seeing it in the church. We got a lot of division in the church. I don't want that division coming into Good News Church. A lot of hate going out right now. It's just like in the whole election thing. It's brought out a lot of division, a lot of hate, and almost like just unleashing like a freedom to slander and to hate and to criticize. And we got to be on guard, because it will creep into your home, it will creep into your marriage, it will creep into your friendships, and people that you got along with, suddenly you're going to start fighting. And I'm not receiving it. I'm not receiving. I choose to not receive the spirit of division and strife and anger. Well, I just got to speak my mind. Well, okay, but if you're a Christian, you can't really just speak your mind. As a Christian, you can't be led by feelings. Well, I just can't help myself. Well, okay, but is what you're about to say or do or write line up with the Word? All right, now how does it line up with agape love? Is it the kind of love that loves the sinner, even though they don't love me, even though they're different from me? You know, so we can talk about love, but I mean the reality of actually doing it, I mean it's hard. And it's just, you don't even realize you're in this cloud of confusion sometimes. And it's easy, you know, the Bible talks about, in Psalms it says, they mingle with the world and learn their ways, and it becomes a trap to them. And we just can't do that. We gotta, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We live in a different kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. Do you think they operate in heaven by hate? You think they operate in heaven by gossip? You think they operate with slander and tearing people down? You think they're cussing and criticizing and see, you know, if we don't learn how to operate in heaven here, we're going to have to learn it up there. We're going to have to go to love school. It's an 8 DVD series in heaven, you know, some discussions with Peter and Paul and John as your instructors. Might as well go ahead and learn now. Amen. You know, if we were just to think about it and about life and what's really, really, really important, and think about the things that have happened, it would really be about the love that we've received and the love that we've given. You know, if you're at the end of your life, and it's not going to be thinking about, well, this house that I had, or this car that I drove, or remember that suit that I used to have? No, it's going to be about the people and the lives that you've impacted. And if you want to impact lives, love is the key. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Love is the answer to everything. In every decision, everything that we do, we ought to think like, what would love do in this situation? What would love say? I've got so many different stories. I don't know where to start, but I'll think of one, you know. Susie and I, we've talked about this, that we went to marriage counseling, right? 2 years, every week. And that came out of a lot of different things. I had been in a time of depression and backed out of many things. That's what depression does. It causes you to step back and just be passive and not really do engaged. And so a lot of things were slipping in the household and here at the church, and was kind of falling on Susie's shoulders, and she was, you know, and I wasn't really doing anything about it, anything healthy. And she just really finally said, hey, we got to do something about this. And ended up going to marriage counseling, which, of course, she went to the first session by herself because I was against that. And, you know, not for that. I mean, that's for her to do. I mean, we're all fine. Oh, yeah, I'm 9 months of depression. We're fine. But then we ended up going to marriage counseling, and there's just some rough days in there when you're in marriage counseling sometimes. And you feel like, and it's not really the truth if you kind of step back, but you feel like people are ganging up on you. And so this one particular day, I felt like our counselor and Susie were ganging up on me. Really what was happening is truth was coming out. And I was really, you know, you're just defensive. You know, do I need to flee or to fight? And I chose to flee. So I got so mad, this is your pastor now, I got so mad that I got up and left and slammed the door. Our counselor is a nice Presbyterian lady, really sweet lady, got my wife of all these years, slammed the door and left. Pouty Matt. Not getting my way. They're picking on me. And so I got out of the whole thing. And as I calmed down, maybe like in a day, the fury kind of calmed down, I got really embarrassed. And not even so much with Susie, because she's seen that behavior before. So not so much with her. But with the Presbyterian lady, I'm like, that is really, really embarrassing. I showed myself. So I sent her this text of this apology text. I didn't have the guts to speak to her in person. I sent her this apology text. And she just sent me back the sweetest, loving, encouraging text. Now, she would have been a condemning kind of person, or I'm going to get you, or an eye for an eye and all that. But I'm telling you, it really ministered to me. And I was able to go back and show myself again. But that's love in action. She didn't need to do that. You know, there's love languages. I do this in the premarital classes that we do. Love languages. You know the five love languages? Let's see if we can name them all together. Acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, giving of gifts, physical touch. You know God's all of those? Well, how is he physical touch? Well, he's into healing. And his presence. And he actually comes to live on the inside of you. And his spirit comes up on you. But he's all five of those. He is love. And there's probably a six and a seven and an eight. He's those too. But can you think of times when people loved you? Life is just about little things of love. It's about forgiveness. It's about, you know, it's about mercy. It's about grace. Another time with Susie. Again, I messed up. Raise your hand if you ever messed up so I can feel good about what I'm about to share. I messed up big time, and I had to go to Susie and tell her what was happening, and I was ready for the double barrels. You know what I'm talking about? I deserved it. I was ready for it. I'm going to get it. I need it. You know, all the things. And so I'm going to talk to her, and it really caught me off guard because she just gave me grace. It's like in the prodigal son, when the kid comes back to the father, he doesn't want to hear about the sin. He's just loving on him and giving him grace and wanting to bless him. That's what she was doing. I don't know what strategy that was. What was she doing there? I'm just trying to figure it all out, and it's just like, this is what's going on. What does she want? Does she want a new dress or something? Or what is she, you know? But she just graced me. And I want to tell you, it was like a tangible thing that someone did to me and actually came into me physically and changed me. It impacted me. And again, I know there's times when, you know, there's needs to be a punishment or needs to be some kind of action corrected. You know, you speak the truth in love. Not just speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. But I'm telling you, love is a force. Love is, it's God. And God, so God just came into me and changed me. So, I mean, you know, we're talking here, you know, this year about starting a year. We're talking about open doors, see all the open doors, and that's amazing things. But we want to go through those open doors full of God's love. You know, first the beginning of 1 Corinthians talks about giving your body to be burned and, you know, all moving mountains and all those things. But if you have not love, it's nothing. It's not just behavior. It's the motivation. And so if 2018 is going to be a year of fruitfulness, a year of ministry, great ministry, which I believe it will be, its foundation has to be the love of God. It has to be people that are not just like acting because it's the right thing to do or the Christian thing or because someone's, you know, saying I need to do it. It's because we're changed. And that love just compels us. Comes out of us. It's just overwhelming. Jesus looking over the city, compassion. Compassion is love in action. Now, certainly, I mean, the Old Testament, it was part of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Look at Genesis 12, verse 1. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives, in your father's house. We're talking about God's covenant with Abraham. To the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Don't stop there. I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. Make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. I like that. Dispensing good to others. We need some people that are love dispensers. We need some people that are just not going to be like everybody else and be like the world. I mean, is Good News Church, are we those kind of people? Now, I like to look at this, the Genesis 12 of the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 9. Now, we look at this in terms of finances, and I'm totally fine with that, to do that. And we use it in offering messages. But look at this in terms of God's love in us and flowing through us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, I'm going to read in the Amplified Version. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly, that's the world, will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. So you're giving out love. You're blessing people with love. You're not holding back. You're blessing people with love. It's going to come back to you. And it's just a cycle. And it gets greater and greater and greater and more impact. Let each one of you give as he has made up his own mind. Let each one of you love. Giving is love. Love is giving. Let each one of you love as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, unwilling to abandon or do without, a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it, lover, giver, whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, an earthly blessing. You see, if you have this, if you've been changed by God's love and you're letting it flow through you, this is talking about you here. God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. So that you may always and under all circumstances, in whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Oh my goodness. Woo, this is good today. Oh, Pastor Matt's preaching good today. Oh, the word is good. It's rich. If you're not getting anything today, you're I don't know where you're at. Distracted, I guess. People are starving for love. They're desperate for it. Money is not the answer. Money can be used as a vehicle, you know, to show love, but it's not the answer. Money itself is not the answer. The currency of heaven is love. Possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Every problem, every situation, everything you're dealing with will get better and improve with love. Every decision will be better if you put it through the love lens. And it never fails. And every time it doesn't, so if it doesn't succeed or work, it means that love wasn't there. Hate fails, love succeeds. As it is written, he, the benevolent person. Is that you? Turn to your neighbor and say it like this. You're so benevolent. I mean, just. Frank, you're so benevolent. Fabiola, you're so benevolent. Rhonda, you are benevolent. Christina, I mean, you're just overflowing with benevolence. That's who we are. As it is written, the benevolent person scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Your love deeds last forever. It's eternal. It doesn't pass away with the nuts buried over in the yard. That was the first squirrel offering I've ever heard. It was a good one. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing, for loving, for giving, for acting, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest. Come on, somebody! Which. Manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. I'm jumping. Who's jumping with me? I'm jumping. Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's the love jump. You've heard of love waits? Love jumps. This will just change your world. To change your job, change you as a student, change your family. I was reading this the other day. It was written by this kind of philosopher guy, and he's writing about God's presence. And the book came out of his relationship with this guy that took care of disabled people. And this guy had a calling to take care of disabled people. I mean, just people severely handicapped. And so he had this passion to do it, and he started with two people in his home, taking care of them, and it led to a worldwide ministry, because people saw what was happening there, and they said, okay, we want to be a part of that. And so, you know, they have, I don't know what the name of the ministry, but it's all over the world. They're known for just superior care of people that are, you know, disabled or handicapped, whatever, however you want to say it. They noticed this, that when the staff came in, if the staff was in a bad mood, I mean, these are people that can't, some of them can't speak. They can't, you know, really function. They're just taken care of. If there was strife among the staff, if there was division, the whole house would go crazy. The people were acting up. They were, you know, just not, you couldn't take care of them. You couldn't feed them. You couldn't, I mean, they wouldn't cooperate. But if the staff came in with a good mood and a good attitude and came with compassion, there was just peace. They were picking up on what their leadership was doing. Shouldn't our homes be places of love? Shouldn't our homes be filled with God's love? Shouldn't our homes be a place of peace and joy? manifests itself. We'll go back to verse 10. Manifests itself. And see, it's going to show up. It's going to manifest. Manifests itself in active. It's not like in the past. Active. Right now. Active goodness, kindness, and charity. Verse 11. Thus you'll be enriched in all things and in every way so that you can be generous. And your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Last verse. Let's put up Acts 25. Acts 20, verse 35. Now, you know, we got some young people over here. You want to be successful? You want to be successful? Seriously. Or you want to have a life of failure? Grayson, you want to be a failure? Is that what we raised you to be? Look at this verse here. This is a good verse. This is a good life verse right here. In everything I have pointed out to you by example, that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed, makes one happier, and more to be envied. Is that what the world would say? No, fame. Oh, that Ferrari and that Porsche and that Mercedes. In that house, in that second house, in that third house. Oh, in that trip on your private jet. That's when you'll be envied. Oh, you're going to be something. All that stuff just passes away, burns up. It is more blessed, makes one happier, and more to be envied, to give than to receive. So we got the challenge before us, guys. And we've had an amazing year. We had our first Love Feast last week. And we're talking about open doors and ministering to troubled youth and, door to the immigrants and unusual doors, doors that we haven't thought of, and just all different kind of wonderful things that God has for us. God's going to use every one of us. We all got a part in this. But the challenge is, are we going to step up to the plate here? We're going to step up to the plate and allow that love from God, because he has just, it's a lifetime, eternity to grasp and comprehend and understand the amazing gifts and love that he has demonstrated to us. Or are we going to go with the world and we're going to be like what they do? Be like everybody else. Is that what we're going to do? Or we're going to let that love change us and flow through us to others and let our light shine? I believe that Good News Church people, that's who we are. We're going to let our light shine. Amen. Let's stand, everybody.